It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
At forward, number five, he still lives with his mother, Carlos Boozer. At forward, number nine, he collects rare birds and has a pet dolphin named Chachi, Luol Deng. At center, number 13, he's a Scorpio and a horrible dancer.
Mike Shope.
He doesn't speak a lick of English, but we still love him. Gustavo Ayo from Connecticut, where he majored in econ, but he minored in love.
The Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
I had to check. I'm sorry, I'm 3 seconds late. I had to check. Cultural expectations is not the term or a term the Blue Jackets used.
Okay.
Cultural expectations. Because if it were, oh.
What?
I'd be here all day. If that were really a term they use, I would be here all day with that.
What did they... They did say something similar to that.
They did. They said this. There are certain expectations and values that we have established for our players that define our culture. Jarmo Kekalainen.
Okay.
An incident occurred in which Sergei failed to meet those expectations and values, so we made the decision that he would not be with the team for tonight's game. This is an internal matter, and we will have no further comment at this time. Tortorella also had no comment. The release speaks right for itself, he said.
Yeah. So, oh, it does. I mean, I think the release definitely speaks for itself. I think
something happened. I think reportedly this, in Tampa.
I think this is why, and it frustrates us endlessly. But this is why teams usually just tell you if they make a release on like a guy's not going to play tonight. What Sam Reinhart sat on the bench fully dressed. Was that 2 years ago under Bielsma?
Columbus, right?
Yeah, and, you know, violation of team rules. And, you know, maybe eventually you find out that he was late to a meeting or late to a game day skate or whatever he was. But if you just issue a statement that says it was a violation of team rules, okay, well, I don't want to assume the worst. Maybe he just missed a meeting, you know, or missed the bus or didn't wear the proper attire for a flight or something, or, you know, something pretty not severe. You issue a statement like that, and I've got him naked in an alley somewhere. Like, that, my mind just goes to hookers.
So that would not meet the
right
expectations and values? Are those things the same, or is that one thing?
Probably not. So, like, you give me there was an incident and all that other cultural value stuff, and I've just got flaming shots and, you know, just strippers. That might be my fault, you know, because it's possible that not showing up for meetings maybe repeatedly would also violate their cultural, however that was all worded. I mean, it's possible, but man, you go anywhere but violation of team rules, generic upper body injury. Violation of team rules. You get more in depth than that, and my mind goes racing. My mind just goes like, okay, was there a stolen car involved? What happened here? Do we have a Miami Vice episode breaking out? That's just me.
I don't really think this is because of like my path here with this subject. There's so much data. I believe in data. I believe in math. I would sometimes go as far as to say it's the only thing I believe in. Like, so when you do that, then necessarily you go against the other thing. You go against the culture thing. I used to be quite different as far as this goes, like all the way different. Oh, no, it's very important that your team have culture and all this. Never stopping to think about, you know, what that is and whether some teams really have it more than other teams or whether it's just a buzzword or anything. Then, you know, I started to think about that more. So, I am almost to a point where I would say anything that isn't a crime, I don't care about. Like, if we're going to find out more about this, which we probably won't, well, I don't want to say that, maybe. Depends on how much competition is there in the media market to find stuff out.
Right.
Like, maybe you find out, maybe you don't. But If it's my team and he didn't commit a crime, I want him in net. Like, they are right on the line with the Sabres. They're trying to make the playoffs. Have they ever won a series? Like, and he's a free agent after this year. Mm-hmm. He's been about the best goalie in the league. Not this year, but other years. Like, that's who we're talking about. And Nashville, if you care about this, like, that's not in the conference, but it's a good team. Like, it's a team. It's a semi-important game. It's a game. And that's kind of where I'm at. Like, if he's not in jail, I think I want him playing.
I hear you. I'm inclined. I mean, I guess I'm what I'm revealing here about myself is that I might too quickly think the worst, which I think I've already laid out in the opening few minutes of the show here. I think illegal, not illegal. I think you've got hockey players on the road, and there's probably a lot of stuff that happens that would really upset us if we knew. I mean, I think that's correct. We've all heard stories. It's usually nothing I really want to air because I don't have firsthand knowledge of it, but people I trust sometimes have firsthand knowledge of it, and I still don't want to go there because it's not illegal, and we're talking about young guys on the road, and it's whatever. What happens on the road stays on the road, and just show up and play the next day, and I don't care, really.
And also, if I may, it's also dangerous to try to correlate whatever behavior it is with performance.
Right, exactly. So, like, I accept that. Then I think, above and beyond that, to upset a team to the point where they're going to issue that statement, illegal, not illegal, I don't know. It seems like you got to go pretty far to get that treatment from your general manager. Like, that's not just he had one too many. Yeah, like, to me, like, there's just something that I think, like, probably has to upset you to the point where you need to make an example out of him because you just can't live with it. Like, I can't have this on my team. You got to cut it out.
Well, a lot of the stuff you are thinking of and saying that you're thinking of that could be about examples of what happened are crimes. So even if you're just like completely, you know, bombed at a bar and you just, you know, you get stupid, you can go to jail for that. Mm-hmm. Maybe because you're famous, somebody gets you out of it.
Yeah.
But like that can happen. Another area is you versus a teammate or you versus someone in the organization. And that's the kind of thing that teams would take seriously, maybe more seriously than drinking, you know, or mm-hmm. whatever happens that's rowdy outside of that. Like, I think about Chad Kelly. Like, there's still some chance that Chad Kelly could be good. I mean, Denver was, I think, about ready to turn to him.
It was close, yeah. Right.
And people liked him. And he might have been ready to play. But there was a problem. He had a problem with his team. There was a party, and he acted obnoxiously and combatively toward players on the team. And many times, the team just will not even tolerate that at all. There's a lot of stuff you can get away with in sports that isn't that. And there's way less you can get away with that is that.
Yep.
It depends on who you are. So if it sounds like I'm not telling you anything about what this guy did, that's right. Because I have no idea what the guy did.
Yeah, I don't have any idea either. I'm just telling you what happens when I hear a statement like that is my mind races to extremes. But treatment of teammates, other like front office personnel, like, you know, it's... Here's something that's not, you know, like naked in an alley with hookers, okay? The team is out late. He goes one step further, is out even later, and the coach or the GM know about it, and they're waiting for him in the lobby of the hotel. And it's 5 in the morning on a game day. Like, you know, and he rolls in. And you confront him, and he takes a swing at you. Like, that's, you know, that could happen.
The last part might be what you need.
Right.
To have this.
Right, exactly.
Something more than
just being confronted about this behavior. You know, so...
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of ways...
I wonder if he's under contract for 3 more years, whether we just get... They're still just as... Same exact scenario could have unfolded, whatever it is. And they're really upset about it, and they feel like they need to single him out and make an example of him and suspend him for a game. I wonder if we just get violation of team rules. You know? Like, this could be a little bit of souring the fan base on him. You know, like we're not going to keep this player.
It's his fault.
Yeah, you can't trust him. You can't count on this guy. Like, it could be the start of that. What's weird about it though is that it's a player. I mean, Columbus is in a playoff spot right now, so I don't know. This is where you don't want to be as an organization, in a playoff spot with key free agents who are going to leave you in the offseason for nothing. I mean, Jeff Skinner is this.
Very interesting team to talk about.
Right. But like if they trade those guys away, you know, you wouldn't blame them. Panarin is the other one. Those are big assets that you can get value for, but you're damaging the value of Bobrovsky by releasing this information. So that's weird. The whole thing is just strange.
The incident reportedly happened in Tampa. Their last game was in Tampa on Tuesday night. They lost 4-0. And he was pulled from the game. There were two goals in the first period and then two more in the third. And after it went to 4-0, like 5 minutes into the third period, they took him out. And so something maybe happened after that.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe it was like in the locker room.
Could have been. Maybe something happened before that. Before the game. The night before the game. I mean, who knows? It could be anything.
This would be a really tough thing to do in sports. This would be like a really tough part of the job, is star player behavioral issue. What do we want to do about it?
Yeah, like what's the breaking point?
Is it worth it to suspend him? Is it worth it? What do I get out of that? Do I get him to focus up? You'd have to read that. What effect I might have on my team if I do that? Like, are other guys following his lead? Or do they think he's sort of a joker and don't even mind? You know, like the Sabres had a goalie who won the Hart Trophy that ran into stuff
right
within the team and outside of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like, what did they ultimately do about that? Not a lot.
No,
like he went back in goal.
They sucked it up. I get the sense talking to Rob from time to time. Like, he from time to time alludes to things that happen. You never get all the dots connected, but you do get some allusion to, like, situations that happened on the road, police may be involved, like, whatever, and, like, you know, we got him out of it. Like, okay, and you probably feel some sense of anger and betrayal, and then ultimately go, like, I need this guy. I need him.
Right.
I need him, whether he's hungover or not. I need him in goal tomorrow, and, like, okay.
So what did the Sabres do? And if I can just make this comparison, what did they do? Nothing. Like, right, they probably had conversations, but there was never a suspension. There was never, like, quote, punishment
right
that we knew about, right? So that was their choice, and was that a good choice? I would say it wasn't a bad one.
It didn't hold the team back, really. They made the conference finals and then the Stanley Cup finals and then
the playoffs twice more,
and we're a Darius Kasparaitis goal away from the semis again. And like, yeah. I mean, I think it probably they did all right.
And without him, they don't do any of that,
right?
I think so. Yeah. Well, it's hard to keep going too much longer without really knowing what it is we're talking
right
about. But it is pretty sharp words from the team. That's unusual.
Yeah, that's what really, you know, that's the walking off point here. Like, you hear that and just, you know, like I've already said, my mind races to, how bad does it have to be for you to talk like that about him? Given everything we just said, like, it's something really extraordinary had to happen, whether it's confrontational with team people or something outside in public that you definitely don't want to get out, but could have been much worse. Like, who knows?
The Sabres playoff odds at the moment at hockeyreference.com are 71.1%. The Blue Jackets are 72. The Blue Jackets have Bobrovsky, who they have suspended for a game because of an incident that happened in or around their last game. That's what we're discussing. And they have Panarin, their best player, who are both free agents. These are two, arguably their two best players, who are both, they have other good players, but you know, they're up there, who are both unrestricted free agents after the season, and there they are, right on the cusp. They are like the opposite of the Sabres. They are basically the same record with the same odds, and one team is like, you know, if we make it, we make it. I mean, things are really good, though. No matter what we do this year, you're going to love us next year. You're going to love us. We are just like...
We're around the cum. Yeah, right.
Yeah, we are that meme where the guy is with his girlfriend. He's looking over his shoulder like, who's that? Buffalo. And Columbus is the other woman. Columbus is like, oh, geez. I knew it wasn't going well. Now she walks by. Like, I was in the playoffs before and lost. And
what a great description of that meme.
That's
a really good job by you.
I held in there with Tortorella and paid Tortorella. He's a culture guy. He might be the reason for this.
Yeah.
You know, the general manager must like his philosophy a lot for him to be the coach there. And got to do something.
It's interesting, like, you know, whether or not this thing with the goalie involves, you know, misbehavior, alcohol, and something else. Like, Panarin, the team obviously has nothing to do with this, but, like, there's a billboard in Columbus now that was erected by, is it by the company, the distillery, some distillery, like, vodka for life if you stay, basically, is the billboard for Panarin, which on the, you know, earlier in the week was like, oh, interesting. Now with this thing happening, it's like a little more like, oh, the optics here are not great. Like, not great timing.
What should they do? How do you bail on a team that's got a 72% chance to make it? Like, how do you ever do that? And they're not the Penguins or the Blackhawks or a team that's like 1-1. So you just, you know, now it's time. And we don't want to be Chicago. So it's time to, you know, make moves that are in our best interest in the future. They're not that team. They're not that franchise. So
they probably should be, though. And, like, I don't usually, like, you're the one who admits to hurrying to going wrecking ball and starting over.
No one is faster than me to that.
Right. But in this case,
tank it.
Even recognizing, like, what, you know, who they are, like you just said, they cannot let those two guys walk away for nothing in the summer. I mean, they just cannot. Like, those are guys that you trade for multiple assets that will definitely help you. Well, definitely. Should definitely help you. You should be able to do really well. Even if they're just rentals, you should be able to do really well.
I don't know.
The goalie maybe is a little trickier because goalie market is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But Panarin is an elite player.
That you're getting for a month. And sports are smarter now. Sports are like not, they are not so impressed with that. I don't want to sound like I'm telling you this because we've had this conversation in some form dozens of times. If you are a team that's like you had a good regular season or very good regular season or better, a few good regular seasons like 10 or 20 years ago, and then you lost in the playoffs, everybody would try to figure out what your flaw is, but everybody would think there is one. Like there has to be a problem. Mm-hmm. You know what? Not most necessarily, but way more people do now than then. Short series, a lot of luck.
Try again
bounces,
next year.
Puck luck.
Yeah.
You know? Like, then there had to be a reason. And while now you still have a lot of people that do that, more people just go, no, there doesn't. You just got bad bounces. Or maybe, you know, or you had a bad night or something like that. And you sort of, more people can live with it if you lose. And an extension of that is, who wants to trade what the Sabres have, any kind of package of what the Sabres have for a guy for like a month plus playoffs? Like, what does that really amount to? In the day, everybody wanted that and thought it was a good idea to do that, and now I think way fewer people do. Do you agree with that?
I think it has changed, sure. I'm sitting here, as much as I'm talking about Panarin's value and what you could get for him, and he's a much higher caliber star player than Evander Kane is. Okay? But how did that go? And, you know, I got a conditional number one pick in a guy that is probably never going to play for me.
How did it go for the Sharks? He played all right.
Yeah. They won a round. They won a round and they decided to keep him, as it turned out. And that's why you got the number one. But
that wasn't a good result for them.
No, that wasn't a huge payoff.
Lose to Vegas in five games in round two is not a good result for them.
Right. So maybe there's still probably what you're calling me on here is some maybe antiquated thinking about the value of the rental player to begin with.
I don't know. I think there are fewer teams and will be fewer more down the road who would even bother. And I think part of that really matters to the point is that more and more fans don't need it from you. Like, people get it.
Yeah.
I think that's right. That doesn't mean that couldn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you can find fits. It's a matter of whether or not you want to do it. Like, I'm just sitting here. Like, the cap is a part of this, too. I'm looking at the standings. The first team I think of is Washington. Like, they just won the cup, right?
Perfect.
But wouldn't they want to take another run at it and get this guy to help them do it and pay whatever? What do I got to pay? Who's my best prospect? Fine.
Right.
Shovel that into a landfill with a couple of number one picks and bring me Artemi Pierin for April through June.
Great. Absolutely right.
Right? If they can make the money work, I mean, that's the trick. And, you know, I don't know, maybe you've got some expiring money that isn't useful to you that Columbus takes back as a favor to get all the good stuff that you're going to give them. So you can probably find a place to make that work and make it worth Columbus's while. I think it's really hard to just let those guys play out and hope you win some rounds and then, well, it was nice having you here. Thanks for coming. Whew, that's tough. I mean, Bobrovsky's been a Vezina. Has he won it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Panarin is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, man, I don't know. It's tough.
The other way they could go is they really could just say, this is it. We have never won a round before. The GM's been around. It's not like he would have a huge or really long leash if they were to just blow it up and rebuild. Probably same with the coach. They could just go, all right, we've got them for the rest of the season. We'll figure out what happens in the summer. Let's go all in right now.
Bring everybody.
Let's trade for Matt Duchene.
Bring us all your guys, right. We'll do the opposite.
Right.
They're like, what do we have to do here?
Let's do it now.
Beat out the New York Islanders over 40 games? Okay. I mean, can we really not do that?
Right.
We can do that.
So you got to do that. But then
you got to beat the Penguins.
Right. How do I beat the Penguins or the Capitals?
That's right.
Like, that's why you load up. That's why you bring, you know, whoever. That's why you buy rentals.
I don't know, like, all the insight with the Blue Jackets, but what I would see there is the GM is doomed. The GM has been there for years, like you said. And I don't know. Like, if he trades away good players now, does that help him? If he doesn't, does that help him? They're going to have to beat teams in the playoffs.
Right.
I think that's kind of how it goes, you know? Like, there's a lifespan. A shelf life is a better way to say it. They were up 2-0 on Washington last year, first round. They won the first two games on the road in that series, by the way.
Hockey.
Washington did play their backup goalie for those two games. Remember, they put Grubauer over.
That's right. Holpe. They chose to play Grubauer and then Holpe, like,
willingly
got it together. Right.
That was probably dumb.
Yeah. As it turns out, yeah, probably, yeah.
They had a reason for doing it.
Sure.
Then they won the Stanley Cup.
Grubauer outperformed Holpe during the regular season is why they did it.
Look how smart they are. 803-0550. All right. I had a lot on the list today, and this was not one of the things.
Right.
But I think the Blue Jackets, we'll be talking about them, right? That's a good one. Even before this.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I mean, without the Bobrovsky thing today, the suspension and the curious wording on the release from the team, like, they're a team to watch here because of the status of those guys. And, like, do they fall behind the Islanders? And then are they the team I'm trying to squeeze out? You know, like, they're solidly in that mix with Buffalo, Montreal, and New York.
Sabres do have one more point than them right now.
Right. And Carolina maybe too. 45 points, Carolina right.
Carolina's
now.
Good. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. I've got a few more thoughts on the team building, like how times have changed as far as that goes. I'll fit them in here as we go. Also, we've got a big new draft idea that I think is going to happen. We'll talk about that and share that with everybody. It came up briefly yesterday. Thanks for joining us today. We have John Clayton lined up for 5 o'clock Eastern. This is WGR.
Obviously, he's a shooter. He makes a lot of plays. I thought he had a real strong game the other night. So, you know, just want to continue doing that. You know, try and get him the puck in the slot and, you know, work with him and Skinny. He's been playing well. So, you know, just try and build chemistry as quick as possible.
Jack Eichel, Tage Thompson together on the top line. Jeff Skinner, too. Sabres and Hurricanes tomorrow night. 7:30 on a Friday.
That idea came up yesterday. Joe went even further. Like, you had lines, you had new lines, you had Reinhardt at center.
Not the starting time you're talking about.
I think last night. No, I'm over it. Whatever. It's how it goes. But Thompson riding over there with Eichel and Skinner, like, okay, let's give that a spin. Good. I hope they use that in the game. I'm obviously hoping it goes well.
Thompson, I've spent very little time thinking about him. What kind of person he is or player he is for the future here. He meant something for, you know, to them by that they traded for him. Like, he meant something in that trade. He was
the piece.
Not, like, he was important in that trade.
Yeah, he's the thing. I think we said after the trade happened, like, that's the thing you kind of need to work out. If he turns into a top six forward for you, then that trade looks really good. Otherwise, if he's just a guy that's like a fringe NHLer, you took on Sobotka and Berglund salaries, and okay, you got a number one pick. All right. Thompson is the swing, I think, in that trade.
Yeah, so I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about like what he becomes. And he's in his first full season or second full season in the league?
He played like 40 games in the NHL prior to the trade. I don't know that they were all at once, but he had like 40 games under his belt. Mm-hmm,
yep, mm-hmm. They were all last year, 41 games.
Okay.
And he's like 21?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's still, like, to me, not – I mean, he's not Mittelstadt, okay? But he's not someone you should think is done turning into who he's going to become. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, he's gotten a little more interesting here.
It's a pretty flashy team, and he is a part of that. He is a part of their flash.
Sure. He's got – there's some pretty high-end skill there. I mean, the shot is elite. Stick handling, and he sort of – jumps off the ice. Like, you see them even on TV, but especially in person. Like, you get a guy that's 6'6 playing forward in the NHL, like, you tend to notice that guy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, especially if he can move pretty well, and he can move pretty well. So, yeah, I'm into seeing how that goes tomorrow.
Paul Hamilton will join us at 4 today. You can join us 803-0550. Which team would you less rather see make the Super Bowl? New England or Dallas?
Oh, boy. I'm
guessing that these are the two teams you'd least like to see in the Super Bowl.
For sure. Yeah.
If it's New England versus Dallas, will you watch the Super Bowl?
No.
I'm definitely a no on that. I'd skip it anyway.
I always watch it. I just can't not watch it.
This would be a test.
New England
versus Dallas.
I pay attention to this sport. I mean, I like this sport, it's warts and all. Like, I mean, I like the games enough that I watch them all year long. I'm gonna watch that game no matter what.
Okay,
that would be the closest I could probably come. But like, okay, I'm still gonna do it.
I felt a very exciting inner power not watching the Super Bowl in recent years. I've watched the last couple, but I skipped a couple, and right. I felt very powerful doing that.
Ravens-Niners, I remember, was one.
Ravens-Niners, Seahawks-Broncos.
Yeah.
And that might have been it.
Yeah.
Might have been two.
I mean, you know, my wife makes tacos. I like tacos. And, like, I feel like if I don't watch the Super Bowl, she might not make tacos.
I wanted to have the work party, the work Super Bowl party for Patriots-Seahawks, and that took precedence in the new house over my then 2-year streak of not watching the Super Bowl. I watched that game.
That was a nice time.
Now I'm back.
It was nice to be with everybody at the time that we worked with. Boy, that's a push for me, I think. I mean, Dallas, I guess, no, they're gross. I mean, they haven't been there in so long, so like that would be refreshing, but no, it's gross. Jerry Jones is the worst.
I think Dallas has the longest streak of losses in this round, and it's an active streak. They've lost 5 divisional round games in a row. They've lost The last time they won in this round was their last Super Bowl win, 1995.
Wow.
And they've been there 5 times since, and they've lost all 5, I believe. So,
yeah, I can't.
It's New England for me.
I don't know that I can separate them because they're both disgusting.
I want the New England stuff. I just want it to go away. Wow. You got around to that? 20 years into it.
You know, either one of them getting there, if they played each other, it's just the Death Star. I can't even. But if one of them gets there, that's not necessarily bad, because then I've got a real reason to watch and root against them. So if it's Dallas, Kansas City, okay, I'm not mad about that. I'm not saying I'd rather it be Dallas than, say, Philly or New Orleans, but if it's Dallas, Kansas City, if it's New Orleans, Kansas City, I'm going to watch it and just be like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I would very much look forward to that.
Somebody's going to win. Okay, great. I don't know, I would kind of miss being mad at one of the teams. Like, that's juice for me. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of need that. I'm not going to gamble on this game, probably, so I won't have that. So I kind of need a villain.
I would love Kansas City versus New Orleans.
In past years, I've said, like, I don't mind that New England's there. I need them there for this. It's better for me that they're there because I have a reason to you know, it gets my blood boiling. Mm-hmm. I watch the game, and I'll be like rooting against someone actively, and even though that means they could win it again, I know, but like it's pretty juicy when they lose. Like last year was great.
It's easily New England being worse than Dallas for me this year, and here's why. The Dallas thing for me is mostly Jerry Jones, and I don't know Jerry Jones. I mean, there's the Bills-Cowboys history. It's a long time ago. It's a quarter century ago, and he was annoying. And he's still kind of annoying and kind of a doofus, but whatever. Like when they show him on Dallas games in the suite celebrating, I'm sort of like, that's gross. But that's really almost as far as it goes. I don't really dislike the Dallas thing beyond him, partly because it's been so long since they've been there. So Dallas for me would be just like Radio Row of Jerry Jones. You know, that whole 2 weeks of him being glorified, and that would be bad. New England is different and worse because New England is having to suffer through their games. Jerry Jones is the owner on cutaways. New England is the whole game. New England is just the whole game. It's Brady, it's Belichick, it's the whole game. And sports fan-wise and like the kind of fan I am, always ranking things and classifying things, I have nothing more left to do with them. There's nothing more left to figure out, to decide about the Patriots. It's an unbelievable run, a dynasty the likes of which does not make sense in this century for how sports work with all the changes all the time. Just incredible. And you can also, and I sometimes will choose to be disparaging about them, but whatever. Like what they have done, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, right? Like what they have done in sports is amazing. There's no place for it to go. Like it's just end it whenever you feel like ending it. And personally, it would change the Bills for me dramatically if the Patriots were not the Patriots anymore. It would make seasons more fun to look forward to in a way that has not been true for me for more than 10 years. There has never been in 10 years any reason at all to think the Bills could win that division, ever. And like that's still true. And it's more than 10 years.
Yeah.
So I would like to actually have since it's the team we talk about more than any other team, it would be nice one of these years to actually objectively think there's a chance the Bills could finish in first place.
Yeah. That's all very compelling.
So if they lose to the Chargers, I will be very happy about that.
Yeah.
Because they're done for the year, and we can talk about who might be quitting. And just like that, that's it. That's all that they matter for at any this year after Sunday, if they lose Sunday. If not, then it's got to wait at least another week.
Like, what's more likely, that it all blows apart if they lose in the divisional round, or that they win another one and then they all quit?
Same.
Yeah, right? Like, who knows, right? Who can begin to figure that out? I have no idea. I don't despise Dak Prescott.
I like Dak Prescott.
Right? Okay. They made the trade for Cooper, and a lot of people laughed at it. Like, oh, my God, a first-round pick. Like, that was the tone, I think, in here even. Like, that's a lot to pay for a receiver. But it's worked to an extent for them. I mean, he had a big game in the playoff game. Like, they're okay. So, like, on the field, outside of the uniforms, I could do without the feed me thing from Ezekiel Elliott every time he gains 8 yards. But, you know, other than that, I'm pretty all right with them.
I saw a stat on Cooper. The Cowboys, I hope this is right. Somebody please correct me if it's not. 10 games with him, their record is 8-2, and their point differential is 0.
Wow.
Like, they have not outscored their opponents in those 10 games. Again, like, sports is a lot of luck. They have not outscored their opponents over those 10 games, and they've won 8 of those games, including last week by 2.
That's pretty stark.
Cool, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, what is left to say about the Patriots? Just take your time. Like, the Patriots are a family at a restaurant that's really busy, and they just will not get up and leave.
Right.
They're just, there are people waiting in the lobby to sit down, and this one family just will not, please just get up and, whenever
right.
you're done,
right.
You,
right.
we know you get all the time you want.
Right.
That's the rule. That's the standard here.
Right.
Just please get up and leave, and then we can sit down.
Can you bring me a menu of the ports you might have
ports.
Available? I'd
exactly.
like to have, and maybe another dessert to go with that. Well, we're going to bring 4 forks and 4 ports and a piece of the cheesecake. Like, that's the Patriots? Yeah, I mean, okay.
Can we just try the...
I think
the
if...
The cheesecake?
Well, I mean, we'll see. They could have to go on the road, so this is not ironclad, but... I think I'm going to feel like if they don't lose to the Chargers, I think the Chargers are excellent. If they beat the Chargers, even though they'll have to go on the road the following week, I'll just assume they're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to go to Kansas City and just, what? They're the Patriots. It's the I need the Chargers to off them this week. I need it to happen.
I am different about that.
That's why we didn't want Houston in this spot, because we would have been
like
a walkover. Come on, Chargers. Take care of them.
That's right. Definitely a winnable game. It's a losable game
for
New England.
Right.
And hopefully they lose. If they don't, they'll be an underdog against Kansas City.
Sure, they will.
If Indianapolis wins, then that could be insufferable. Indianapolis is super good, too. Like, they're the Chargers, too.
Yeah.
But on the road, New England just does not lose at home late in the season, in the playoffs. They just don't. Well, hopefully they do. And then, like, until they're out, I'm just a little bit like there's a frog in, or there's a cough. Like, I've got a little bit of that cold left. Until they, when they get eliminated, then I will be able to breathe again. I can just finally I get rid of that cold. Paul Hamilton coming up at 4. John Clayton at 5 today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.
Of course, the Saints' offense is tremendous. They're explosive, and they do a really good job of scheming you up in those situations, too, and have a play that maybe you haven't seen on tape, whether it be offense or defense. So you got to make sure that you don't get caught off guard.
How many rounds would a potential song draft probably go? How long do we go with these things? 8 rounds?
Usually 8.
Okay.
Is this song being played now for purposes of our promoting the song draft?
100%. That's Joe's never played this as a bump before, I don't think. Have you?
No, definitely not. Yeah, 100%.
This is definitely like Joe suggesting that this song should probably be one of the... What are we going to get to? There's going to be 4 or 5 of us. Okay.
I was thinking about Bob Dylan this morning, randomly. I was thinking about like one of my first... days on the air, Bob Dylan came up. I'm like, I don't get this guy at all. How can you sing like this and be famous? It's just like one of the worst things I've ever even thought, let alone said on the air.
Right.
Does this song get picked in a song draft? I mean, what song is a favorite to get picked? Is any one song? It's so vast. Is any one song ever created better than 50-50 to be picked in a song draft? I know you'll have ones you can think of
sure,
and you'll
right.
pick.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't know. This is not my favorite Dylan song, but it's... I mean, boy, people who are really into them are going to get after me. Like, it's easily his most famous song?
Maybe.
I mean, it's a huge, culturally significant song. I mean, it's impactful. So...
Is the times they are changing, Dylan?
Yeah. Does that mean you have to choose this if you're choosing a Dylan song? Like, I mean, I could choose an album cut off of Blonde on Blonde and be like, look at me. I like Blonde on Blonde. Okay. Like, there's dozens of his songs I like more than this one.
The thing about these drafts, now everybody's got their own taste. And of course, like, we did a candy draft. And what are you going to really say? Like, I like this candy. So I like peppermint patties. So I pick peppermint patties.
Right. And I yelled at you.
Right. So whatever. But prowess is big. Actor draft, song draft, band draft, prowess. There's a combination of your interest in it, you know, its quality, so to speak, and its impact and its meaning.
Yep.
Like, all that put together is like, well, some of it put together is prowess, you know?
Yeah.
Was it big? Pink Floyd, the Beatles, any like U2, any super famous long-running band, picking a song from those bands will be hard. And usually their most famous song will not be my favorite, and or anybody's favorite.
Right.
Any fan's favorite would probably be something more obscure.
Sure. If you're that into somebody that you've got dozens of their albums and you spend time listening to them, then, yeah, I mean, you're going to pick out lots of tracks. Like, this is more meaningful to me for whatever reason. You know, it could be hundreds of reasons. So, yeah, I mean, it's challenging. But what are you going for? You know, like, do you want, like, when we did band draft, I chose, eventually there were bands that I chose that I knew I could get that I needed to have them because they're important to me. But at the outset, I was trying to choose bands that deserve to be chosen in the top, like, whatever, 50 picks of the band draft. Like, I want to, this should be appropriate. Like, I'm not going to pick The Clash number one because I don't have to. I'll get them later on because nobody else in the room is going to pick them. And so I'm not going to be an idiot and just say they're better than the Beatles. This is, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not a moron. So, you know, you try to do it that way, you know, like, most of my favorite songs, I probably am not even going to pick. Because most of my favorite songs are not songs that belong on, like, they would look out of place probably. On the, like,
there's a lot to hash out with this, and there's not much time here to do that for much longer. But does it come? Do your picks come with a certain rendition?
Yeah, you should get all renditions and remixes and I think whatnot.
You can get all those, but do you name one? I will pick.
Sure, yes. Yes, I think you have
this
to have
performance or this, you know, that's kind of like a deep dive sort of thing, but like this,
right,
this version of this song for this reason.
Yeah. Most of what I mean, this is probably more for like standards and classical and stuff, like you're going to have like a variety of record. Most of the stuff that I'm picking, maybe it's been covered by other people, but probably not. Like, I'm thinking of like popular pop music, you know, rock and roll more than jazz standards, like, for instance.
Maybe I can get Happy Birthday in like the third round, but if it's the Marilyn Monroe Happy Birthday to JFK, that's a first round pick. Like, if you're gonna do like that, that pushes it up. Well, no pun intended. I think that pushes it up a little bit.
Not on my board.
This thing is gonna be a mess.
Happy Birthday. How does that not get picked?
I'm not picking it. You're going to have it. I don't care. Pick it 10th.
You can have The Clash. I can have Happy Birthday.
I'll sing the national anthem on my birthday. I don't care.
Street free agent. I don't know. It's fine.
If I draft the national anthem, then you can't do that. Sorry, Joe. Bye. Paul Hamilton next. This is WGR.